welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Folks, it is now or never, and it's time for Feedback Friday. There are a lot of little things that I could get into on the feedback side, but what I probably need to express is one thank you for your sentiments and concerns. And what I'm trying to do here, and so reading and going through this constitutional compliance argument, it's a long document. It is 26 pages, and probably by the time we're completely done with this, we're probably looking at something in the neighborhood of maybe 30 pages. When you need to create an academic argument, you can't just say, well, because of this, you have to provide all the laying, you know, you have to lay down one, a foundation and all the supporting pieces to the overall argument. And so I believe that this is a pretty close to comprehensive argument. And so what we want to do is go through this, but I also see that we're in election season. There's a lot of things that are moving. And so I think what I'm going to do is, instead of actually going through this word for word, I'm going to kind of summarize and lay out how I placed the argument. I still need to go through and edit it. And, you know, the funny thing is, lots of people like criticizing, you know, how you know, the use of a word. As a matter of fact, if you've ever gone through editing and having dealt with writing a lot of plans and policies when I was in the Marine Corps and writing a lot of documents, I mean, my very first document that I wrote was as a corporal in the Marine Corps, providing a desktop procedure and doing the accreditation for a SCIF. I mean, some of this stuff was really, really important stuff. And I didn't have a lot of assistance, so I had to kind of figure out how to do all of these things, excuse me, for myself. I'm going to be probably fighting a frog because I've just been on the phone all day today. And we're just getting this done just in time for this show. So I'd like to tell you all the things that's going on, and I will in a second here. But more importantly, we need to really start focusing on having conversations with those people that are out there fighting what we call, you know, the good fight. Those people that are diving in the trenches, those people that are picking up, and I'll use the term arms, but that's just metaphorical arms. People that are learning about the Constitution and learning what the Constitution offers in using First Amendment petitions and using your First Amendment rights to actually start, you know, standing up against tyrants. Tyrants at your county, tyrants in your city, tyrants in all levels of government. They have a responsibility to support the Constitution. That's it. And the fact that we have these things like Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, I'm here to tell you that we have everything we need. It's just, unfortunately, had to get to a point of such evil befalling upon us that it's causing a lot of people to wake up. I can't go on without saying that I know that there's a lot of different efforts in trying to create a great awakening, in trying to do, you know, the moral thing, the spiritual thing, and I applaud all of that. And I'm not going to say that we shouldn't be praying and repenting as a nation. We shouldn't, you know, not be doing what our Creator wants us to do. But I'm here to tell you, the empirical data proves and shows us that as we do, we will be blessed. So in other words, it's one thing to repent, and it's one thing to, you know, ask the Lord to, you know, to save us from this brink of destruction. But I don't believe that that is sufficient. I believe that we actually have to prove that we're willing to lift the burden from ourselves. remember in Jonah, when Jonah ran from the Lord, when Jonah ran from the demand or the call for him to go and tell, I think it was the Philistines. You know, I'm bad with names. But whoever it was that he was supposed to go and tell them to repent, that actually he didn't tell them to repent. He was told to tell them that they were going to be destroyed. And so when Jonah finally did that, well, that basically meant that the Lord's judgment was going to befall upon them. But what Jonah didn't know, but I think the Lord knew, or our Creator, what I think our Creator knew is that here was this opportunity for these people to repent, to remove the yoke of judgment from them. And so when all of a sudden the people repented and our Creator didn't destroy them, then Jonah gets all upset and says, hey, you know, you told me that this was going to happen and it didn't, and you didn't deliver. That's because they were willing to do what they needed to do. It's one thing to repent, but they were changing their lives. They were taking responsibility. Repenting isn't just saying you're sorry, my friends. Repenting is actually going through the process of, you know, making things right. We have to start making things right. We can't just say, oh, forgive us for everybody else's sin. You know, how hypocritical is that? You know, there's lots of people that are praying for this country, but it's not like they're, you know, they're repenting for themselves. So if you really look at this, I mean, it's one thing if I was Obama, boy, I would prostrate myself and just basically say, Lord, do with you what you will, because I know I have sinned. I know I've done all of these evil things against your Constitution and against the liberty of these good people. All of these evil politicians, they should all be prostrate. They should all be begging for forgiveness, but they're not, and they're enabled in their evil behavior because they believe that they have the upper hand. Now, I can tell you that when you try to repent for them, that doesn't help. But when you basically call upon the Lord to bless us, not just necessarily forgive our nation, but to bless us with what we need, here's the thing. The Lord already blessed us with what we needed. He gave us this Constitution. So you have to figure out, you have to start learning what he gave us, because everything we need, people hear this, and I've had people come back to me over time, and they slowly start seeing and understanding. It's one thing to say some nice little cliche, the Constitution is the solution, but that doesn't tell you how, why, and what you need to do. However, as I place this into context with people, I have yet to have anybody come back and go, you know, you're absolutely wrong. The Constitution does not give us what we need. Everybody, as they start, you know, diving in and immersing themselves in the Constitution, they come, every time they come up for air, go, wow, you're really right about this. Wow, I didn't see it this way. Folks, I'm only one of the many messengers. I believe that there are many of us that are all working, and as we find each other, it's just like we instantly become brothers, which kind of leads to the other thing I want to talk about. I just had an interview, so we finally aligned the planets of our solar system and the galaxy. Just so you understand, you know, sometimes getting time with people is like moving planets and solar systems of the galaxy to align to where your time can be available so that you can actually sit down and have a conversation. Because there, other than the common desire of fixing these problems and working together, it's hard. It's hard because people have their own lives. They have their own jobs. I mean, we have so many things that are consuming our attention that it's really hard to actually make the time or actually even to take a second to listen to the voice inside your head to say, you know, you really need to talk to this person. We all have that conscience. We all have that little voice that tells us, you know, you should probably talk to that person. And so when we finally make that time and we get that time, it's great. And so I just had a great conversation with the national chair of the Independent American Party, which is Patricia Kent. Now, last October, we interviewed the former chair who passed away, Will Christensen. And so we've finally caught back up with the Independent American Party. I love this party, just like I love the Constitution Party. And the one thing that is huge, a huge differentiator between the Independent American Party and the Constitution Party, is the paradigm within the Independent American Party is they believe in not, and actually you heard this from Will, and you'll hear this from Patricia when we air this interview. It won't be next week, it'll be the following week. But when we actually air this interview, you're going to hear the exact same paradigm. You're going to hear that we have to start putting aside the interest of the party for the Constitution. Now, the fact is, there are plenty of people in the Constitution Party, but there's not enough. It's not a paradigm in the Constitution Party. In other words, it's not a part of their culture to say the Constitution first. It's ironic that the Constitution Party has that name, and yet they don't have that paradigm. And so, at least not all of them. It's not a cultural paradigm. That's what I should say. Because there are way too many people that put the party above everything else. And when you put the party above the Constitution, you are a divisive operative. And so we'll get back into this monologue Feedback Friday and moving on right after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's drag that frog back in here. Sorry, there's just something going on with my throat today. So as I was just talking about cultures, paradigms within, you know, the parties and so forth, it is very refreshing to find that the Independent American Party is not, they're not strapped down. They're not tied to these agendas. So this kind of goes down the path of party platforms. What ends up happening, if you've ever participated in a party platform process, people will come along and say, oh, well, we need to do this. We need, you know, we need to take a stand against abortion because I really find abortion repugnant and evil and so forth. And I think everybody in the room would agree. Absolutely. So they incorporate this plank or this part of the platform against abortion. Well, next thing you know, everybody starts bringing in all of their, and as government has grown to this monstrosity, your platform grows to this monstrosity of addressing all of these terrible things. Now, technically, these things are, as far as I'm concerned, when you look at the platform, they're ephemeral, they're temporary, they're transient, they don't last forever. And what I mean by that is if you go back to the ephemeral issues of the party and their platform 50, 100 years ago, it was about drinking and about alcohol and, you know, public drunkenness for that, that brought forth the prohibition of alcohol. I mean, if you go back well over a century, that became a big part of the platform that they wanted to address this issue. Technically, by allowing those issues to actually start changing government, it becomes an evil fulcrum, because what ends up happening is when you give government the authority and power to actually start controlling something, then they can start using that as a mechanism of controlling you in different ways. It's like, let's just say the federal government actually did have the enumerated power of education. Then they could actually get away with doing what they're doing. Do we not have enough empirical data and evidence to prove that giving the government more and more power, especially the federal government, more and more power becomes counterproductive and actually becomes very oppressive and tyrannical? Because once they actually have their fingers around an object of our life, whether that be life or anything else, next thing you know, they start usurping or injecting more and more controls over us, to where, you know, 100 years ago, they would never have fathomed that government would be able to shut you down, keep you from worshiping and doing all of these things because there was a virus going around that had a 1% chance of killing you, even though they had already had those things and people collectively worked together. They never surrendered the authority to the government to control those things. And so in 53, when Eisenhower created the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, he opened the door for this tyranny to be waged upon us, just like Johnson, just like Nixon, just like Carter, all of these different presidents and administrations and their agendas have opened up this full-faceted frontal attack upon our liberties and upon our Constitution. So backing out again, when we look at the platforms, the ephemeral things, we'll realize that, you know, it, how many platforms talk about drunken behavior anymore? They don't. And in the 50s, or actually the 40s, it was about teenage pregnancy, you know, that they wanted to start teaching sex education, or, you know, they needed to do something about it. And the solution came, and the solution always comes down in this manner, that government is going to control it. Haven't we learned our lesson? Don't let them, first off, they don't have the authority to control it unless we actually amend the Constitution. And second off, how stupid are we to allow them to give them more and more guns or weapons against us? The fact is that the weapons that they're using are illegitimate weapons we never delegated to them through the constitutional process of doing this. This is why platforms have to be focused on what the doctrine is. In other words, what are the powers that they have? This is why I believe a constitutional party platform, and I'm not talking about the constitutional party, any party that wants to consider themselves quote-unquote constitutional will identify what the powers of the government are. The federal government, so you should have two platforms. One platform for the national government, and one platform for the state government. And actually, I believe that you have technically three, because the county government should have a platform as well. And this is how we start shifting paradigms back towards the Republican form of government that this American republicanism was established. In other words, we need to start focusing more power back to the county and start taking them away from the state. The states are technically a general government for the counties, and the counties where we reside is supposed to be the most energetic government in our lives. They should have most of the say and most of the control over everything we do. The state government should just basically make sure that counties can't wage, you know, kind of like what the general government does at the national level. The state government should be doing something very similar. They should be really a hands-off state government. So, and supporting the functions and the necessities of the county. But we have been perverted in such extents to where we actually have population centers using democracy to mandate and to move forward agendas that are all unconstitutional. You're going to find that in every state is violating their own state constitution because they've implemented roles, responsibilities, and powers that the people never delegated. And the problem with every constitution within this union, they all have the process of amending their state constitution by using a form of democracy. In other words, 50% plus one. That has to be stricken. When you rewrite your state constitution, that needs to be stricken. It needs to become a majority of the counties. And as a matter of fact, it should be a super majority or a convincing, not a 50% plus one. It should be a two-thirds majority at least. It would be better to make it a three-fourths majority because this is how you protect the minority. I mean, when you get to three-fourths, you know, when three-fourths of everybody agree, I think you finally reached a consensus that this is the best thing. There are just some people out there that may be, you know, flat earthers or what have you, but reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree. But when you have mob rule, then next thing you know, and especially when people are voting party lines and so forth, we get caught up in, well, the Democrats are in control, so they can do what, you know, they can do whatever they want to do, right? Because we've given them control. The Constitution doesn't give them control. The Constitution sets guidelines that these are the things you can do and only these things. So anyway, forgive me for all this ranting. I apologize, though, in all the feedback that I did get this week in trying to go through the constitutional argument. I didn't get a lot of feedback at all regarding the constitutional jurisdictional limitation of the general government. That one document, which is, I believe, let me make sure, because I'm going to tell you, I think it's up on Reclaiming the Republic now. So, in other words, if you go to Reclaiming the Republic on the Constitutional Perspectives page, right? And as a matter of fact, where is the Constitutional Perspectives page? It's down here. You got to go way, way down. No, it's still Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the unknown teeth in the Constitution. So I'm going to be putting the jurisdictional limitation document or that article that I read, I'm putting that up onto the Constitutional Perspectives page, and it's time that I move the unknown teeth up to the Constitutional Articles page. And when I get this constitutional argument for this bill that we created that we were supporting in Wyoming, we'll get that up there too so you can read it. Instead of reading it, because I understand that we're running out of time, but this is an election year, we need to actually start helping people understand the importance of these ideas that will resonate when you start hearing people articulating them. There is no doubt in my mind, when you start hearing candidates actually pounding on the desk and, you know, pounding on the microphone and their lectern, however they're addressing you and telling you it is time we end external influences in our election, that has to apply to your county elections. That has to apply to your city elections. Every election, if the people are contributing that do not live within the area of that election, then they're they're interfering and they're mingling and meddling in your election, and that should be against the law. We shouldn't allow Russia. We shouldn't allow China. We shouldn't allow any foreign interest to meddle in our elections. And you know what? How many millions of dollars did Obama bring in from, you know, little small donations around the world from people that weren't even U.S. citizens? Isn't that amazing how, you know, we've kind of turned our backs on these principles of representation? Because who are these people to demand any kind of representation or any type of say by buying politicians? That's what it's all about, folks. These politicians want you to buy them, or actually they're for sale on anything and everything that you want. And we don't want our politicians for sale. We want our politicians to represent us in a Republican form of government. So as we kind of wrapping up here, we will try to get into what we call the obligatories. But in Feedback Friday, I kind of want to cover a few things. So when we come back, we're going to talk about what we're going to be doing in the couple of weeks. I've got a couple of interviews that we've done and putting in the can soon, and we want to get a lot more. And hopefully we'll actually start getting some candidates to come and talk about what they're doing. We'll be right back.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what we want to do is we want to actually start bringing in more dialogue. Now, here's one of the things I really have a hard time with, because there are good Republicans out there that I would love to have on my show, that I think they want to do the right thing. And I think, so, well, let's, I'm giving them the benefit, okay? And let's say that I have a handful of people that I believe would benefit if they came on my show and they started actually making commitments to the Constitution. But sadly, I can't get these people to take the time to actually come on the show. In other words, these people kind of, I guess, I hate to admit it, they want to be unencumbered by the Constitution, be able to do the things that they want to do. And I can't imagine that that's the truth. So, again, this is just an assumption on my part, but I can't understand why they would not want to come onto this show so that people can actually hear and understand why supporting says, no, now here we go. I'm actually advocating violating a principle that I believe we need to do. We need to get people into office that are willing to start shutting the door. And until we actually get that done, shutting the door of outside people like myself and influencing, bottom line, the only influence that should actually have any effect on a politician would be the Constitution, because when they take an oath, their oath is not to support, to bring money home to their constituents, to support them, to put money in their, you know, in their pockets or food on their table. Their job is to support the Constitution. And if politicians did that, then people would stop using government as the mechanism of, you know, their source of life, and actually have to start living a life and becoming productive and being able to support themselves and so forth. Imagine that. Imagine us moving beyond government and living as America used to live, where government didn't provide us anything. Anyway, so what we want to do is we want to have these people on. I'd love to have the people in Wyoming and people in Idaho and other people actually on the show to have these conversations. And what I want to do is, you know, those of you that want to support me, when you hear a candidate, and I'm going to tell every candidate out there that comes onto the show, if you're willing to commit to the Constitution, then I'll tell all of you that when these people are doing it and they make that solemn commitment, and how can they do that? I want them to actually tell you how they're going to do this. Then that way we can actually, and hopefully they're willing to actually sign a resignation, a pledge of resignation, because I think that's the best way to do this. The only way we can kind of trust anybody is if they're willing to give up that one thing that we're helping them obtain if they fail. In other words, if they violate the Constitution. And I don't want any word splitting. I want them to be very, very clear. I am not going to violate the Constitution. And so one of the things we provided, and that's what one of the things we read, that I get it, that not a lot of people want to hear these things, but we actually provide the examples of how a public servant can violate, at the county level, can violate the Constitution. When they take money, federal money, for something that the federal government has no business doing, to create jobs or to, you know, to help improve roadways or to build things. You know, this is how Biden and Obama are getting away with trying to say, we built that, we're doing that. Well, you're not supposed to do that. You're basically admitting to the American public you're violating the Constitution. Where in the Constitution did you have the authority to do any of this, federal government? You don't. And the fact of the matter is that when we get politicians to make those commitments, don't support me, support these people to get them in office and then hold them accountable. That's what we have to do. And you need to get people, you need yourself to actually do this. We need good Americans willing to take the time and sacrifice for their county and for their, you know, the only place where a legislator works full time is at the county. Everywhere else, at the state level, that's a part-time job. And everywhere else, even Congress, it's even more of a part-time job if they were doing those things that they had the authority to do. In other words, Congress would not be in these long-term sessions of scamming how to oppress us, how to control us, and how to take more of our liberties if they were actually abiding by the Constitution. It's the same thing at the state legislature. The state legislature, they may have meetings and, you know, committees that meet all around the year and so forth. But if you really think about it, if they're only a general government to support the counties and to support our American republicanism, then they would be marginalized as well. And as people looked at the government system when this nation was created, the cabal at the states really kind of collapsed to the federal level and to the county level. But the state still tried to maintain their, and actually didn't go to the federal level. There was this new body of work that actually had to create, you know, these new policies and standards and so forth once the federal government created their foreign policies and all of that type of stuff. And then they got into this, you know, this cruising mode. Well, there were still these things of wars and those types of things, Britain and harassments and impressments and so forth. But when you think about it, once they got the establishment of the general government and we didn't have all these outside problems, the general government was probably just a mundane place to work. I mean, you know, yep, okay, we have this power, we don't have this power. But instead, the machinations, the evil designs of the nefarious people, or pernicious people, I like the PP word, the pernicious people that were politicians of the day started trying to figure out how to assume more control. And it becomes this insatiable desire to control everything. And that is the essence of evil. So anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to have the IAP chair that is going to come in, and we're just going to actually, you know, I'm talking to Patricia Kent to follow up my conversation last October with Will Christensen. The Independent American Party is a breath of fresh air. So one of the things that we are hoping to do, and I hate to recover some of this stuff, but we're hoping to have them work with the Constitution Party to actually definitize the Constitution. So if you want to help, you may want to call the national chair of the Constitution Party. And if his information is public, then that'd be great, because then you can reach out to Jim Clymer, who is the current chair of the Constitution Party, and start getting them to at least participate in unifying on definitizing the Constitution. I believe we will get the IAP to be more than happy to be the champions for this. But the whole goal, the secret to our success, is unification, unifying. And the reason why this is important is because even Biden is trying to use that same language in his State of the Union address. He basically was saying, we need to unify. But what he was asking for was unify on the things I want. Give me what I want, instead of actually doing what they're supposed to do and putting aside their differences and unify on the Constitution and the fundamental principles of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. That's what they should have been doing. But anyway, anywho, as we kind of move forward, we're going to have this conversation. We hope to have the conversation with other Constitution Party chairs and so forth, especially with politicians that are out there struggling to actually put up a good fight. You know, Ammon Bundy, I'm going to poke him. Ammon Bundy, I think, is a guy that loves the Constitution. I think he wants to be the constitutional candidate. He wants to actually challenge, you know, and be a legitimate challenger. Between you and me and everybody that's listening, in other words, this is public information, Ammon Bundy really needs to change his paradigm from being a victim by being arrested and going out and being a protest, like being a martyr. You can't become a politician as a martyr. You can't be a leader and be a martyr. I mean, leaders can be martyred into martyrdom when they're doing the right thing, but what he needs to do is he needs to articulate solutions, not just, hey, you can't do this and then get arrested. He also needs, and this is just my advice, he also really needs to start focusing on, you know, how the office of the governor has violated the Constitution, and how each of these candidates that are running, they're all of them are avoiding the Constitution. And there are very specific issues that every candidate, except for him, I mean, I haven't talked to Ammon Bundy, and I haven't had a chance to get through to him. We were associated on Facebook, but he actually deleted his page, and he went into, you know, a public figure, so that, you know, he didn't have likes and friends. He became a public figure on Facebook. Maybe I should do that. But the fact of the matter is that he needs to know what these other politicians have been told in context of the Constitution, such as this whole lawsuit against Congress for violating the Electoral College Clause. I believe that if he actually understands this information, he would actually start using this and be poking all of these people in the eye, saying, how come these people aren't becoming the champions for removing the Biden administration? Because they don't care about the Constitution. They just care about getting elected on your perception of conservative values instead of being adherents and champions of the Constitution. These are very powerful positions, friends. This is how you do it. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
So going back to what we were talking about on January 3rd, when we kicked this concept off of having you demand the dialogue between Congress in every congressional race in America, if you do not make it the issue regarding Congress violating the Constitution on January 6th. So in other words, that person standing up there who was actually in Congress, you should be asking the incumbent. So let's put it into context. Kathy McMorris Rodgers, who is my congressional district representative, Kathy McMorris Rodgers was there. And so if I have an opportunity to actually go and actually be in one of her town hall meetings, and it's really hard for me to do that because of my lung disease, just getting into public with, you know, colds, viruses, maybe in the summertime, because our primary isn't until August. So if I have the opportunity, I will absolutely be there, and I will bring it up in the Republican debate or town hall meeting that, you know, Representative McMorris, are you aware of the fact that you are being sued by the We the People Foundation, by Bob Scholz and Anthony Fuscia, I believe is his name. But regardless, you're being sued for violating the Electoral College Clause as well as the Guarantee Clause for what you did on January 6th. How are you going to rectify this? How are you going to remedy what you did on January 6th? And let her squirm. And the fact is, and then you can tell everybody in that room, that what she did was she basically allowed an unconstitutionally formed electoral college choose a president when it was their job and responsibility. And you can actually just put this into the statement of the question. Your job is to ensure that the Constitution is being complied to. And when 31 states violated it, in not specifically not just violate the Constitution, but violated the principles of the separations of powers, how is it that you accepted this unconstitutionally formed electoral college and then you accept this outcome? What are you going to do to fix this? Because the Biden administration was seated unconstitutionally, and we demand a constitutional president. And let watch what happens. If everybody does this in every congressional race, and when I say congressional, your representative for your congressional district and your senators, you need to go to these town hall debates. You need to go to these meetings at a minimum and get many people to try to attend that demand them answer. What are they going to do in 2023? Because they have the opportunity to acknowledge to the American people that Congress violated the Constitution, and then they can remedy it by going into chambers and choosing the president. That is very clear. We have the ability to remove the Biden administration, and these idiots are all supporting the globalist agenda, and they need to be called out and removed. And so this is kind of interesting, because I've actually tried to bring this up with a couple of congressional people that are competing for Congress in some of the, not just local, but in a few of the different states and so forth. And it's interesting how the Republican challengers don't even want to talk to me about it. In other words, these Republicans are shills that are challenging. So in other words, just because you have a challenger doesn't mean that you have a champion for the Constitution. These challengers could be shills, and we need to root them out, and we need to actually clarify whether these people are legitimately, you know, running for office or not. The question is, and I don't know, I believe that the filing period for running for an elected official for the general election and for the primary has to be done by a certain point in time, which is sad, because then there's really no way to actually get somebody to challenge at the general election whoever wins the primary, because if there's enough people in the race, when you have 6 to 8 people in the race, then what will end up happening is you'll get what is perceived to be the lesser of two evils, but what actually you'll have the two guaranteed shills for the party. In other words, those people that will not rock the boat. Every time you see a large body, there is usually one, and I'll give you a case in point in the 2018 governor election. We actually interviewed Taylor Haynes. Taylor Haynes is a constitutional man. He loves the Constitution. He would have actually been the best thing for Wyoming. What ended up happening was he was disqualified, or I should say, the question was, because his home was 20 feet across, so he has this big, huge piece of property that borders on, that is literally on the border between Colorado and Wyoming. And his home was actually built 20 feet on the Colorado side of the border. And so he technically, his home is in Colorado. He didn't know this. And it wasn't until almost towards the end of the race where this was all disclosed, which just actually completely deflated his, and what he needs to do is I don't know if he's done it yet, but he needs to get a professional company out there to lift up his house and move it north 30 feet because he's the best man for Colorado, because he truly does love the, I've talked to this man several times. I have his cell phone number. We talk on a regular basis, and I know that, you know, his wounds were, you know, he's got some deep wounds from how all of this happened, because he was completely blindsided. But the fact is that there are ways to actually overcome that. I mean, he's been living and working what he believed, living and working in Wyoming, because he actually has businesses. He's a doctor. Anyway, the whole point and the reason I'm bringing all of this up is that we need to get people like that to become challengers. And instead of challenging for the Republican ticket, I truly believe he would have been better off as the Constitutional Party candidate or the Independent American Party candidate. He already has a huge name as a Republican, and he could go right out there and say, I'm the true Republican. I'm the American Republican running as the Independent American Party or Constitutional Party, whatever, as a third party. And I'm just saying that we need to get people into these races. You need to seriously consider your husband, your, you know, some family member, some really good person you trust with your life and your children's life. You need to get them to take on this responsibility of becoming a public servant in doing what is necessary in taking back our constitution government before it's gone. Because, folks, if you don't do this, very soon you're going to be, if you have kids, if you have grandchildren, very soon you're going to have the reality, the difficult conversation of how you can tell your grandchildren, how you can tell your children, looking at them eye to eye and saying, I didn't do anything, and we lost everything. We've lost all of our liberty. We've lost this nation. We've lost our Constitution. How can you stand there? How can you actually look them in the eye and tell them that you didn't do anything? It's a tough pill to swallow. I know it. When it really comes down to the harm and what they will have to suffer, I mean, it's almost like, you know, when you see a wife or a husband that does nothing when a child is absolutely being abused and they know it and they don't do anything and they enable that behavior. You know, how can you look that child in the eye as, you know, because I have a friend, a very close friend of the family, that went through that. His mother and his father was abusive, and his mother did nothing. She knew what he was doing was absolutely repugnant and wrong for a man to do to his children, and being as abusive as he was. And I won't even get into all the details, but the fact of the matter is, you know, this guy today, to this date, hates his folks so bad, and I think they've passed on. And he's never been able to forgive them. And as a Christian, I try to, you know, grab him and I say, hey, you got to forgive him. If not, you carry even the worser sin. And I'm hoping he's, you know, he finally comes to his senses and you know, finally gets down on his knees and, you know, begs and prays that he can, you know, be forgiven for not forgiving them. Even though they were never repentant, it's not like they deserve that type of forgiveness, but he has to forgive them. And actually has to be praying and hoping that, you know, the Lord can forgive them. Because that's what we need to do. We need to actually do what we can do in this lifetime. And folks, you have an opportunity. What is it going to take? It's either now or never, right? So with this last minute, Bob Seminar, I still don't know when the seminar is going to be. Fortitude Financial Coaching, go talk to Gary Smith for your financial disciplining and guidance. ConstitutionEducation.us, Timber Nation for quality, awesome hardwood furniture, beautiful stuff. Go to TimberNation.com. If you're looking to protect electronics and if you're looking for something specific, these are all custom orders. So you can actually contact Stan Kluwit and he will make a cover for you. He's happy to do anything custom, loves it. And Add Local, if you're looking for getting some type of support for your infrastructure, email services, that type of stuff for your movement in your county, contact addlocal.com. That's Ben Carr with Add Local. And so with that, you know, I kind of realize that I have no more time. I honor the privilege and opportunity that I have to be able to go through the material that we do. I hope that you can be greater than I in this war against our liberty, that you can actually stand and do those things that I can't do, that I'm too old or I have my intrepid disease and so forth. But friends, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org
and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.